I'd like to begin by reading a verse from the prophet Isaiah. So that would be Isaiah 59, and I'd like to read from verse 2. So on my Bible, that's page 898. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he doth not hear. And then I would like to read, secondly, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 21. Again, in my Bible, that's on page 1303, Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I would like to read in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, and verse 7. I'm going to start to read halfway through. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that's God, cleanses us from all sin. Then I would like to go back to the Acts of the Apostles, this time in chapter 16. And I'd like to read from verse 31, which is on page 1327 in my Bible. Acts 16, verse 31. So this is talking about Paul and Silas. They've just been imprisoned, and the doors have just been opened, and they've been brought out. And the jailer said to them, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And then finally, I would just like to read a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And that's on page 1394. I'd like to start reading through the middle of the verse. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. "Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation." For those who haven't picked up already, I had on my mind to speak about salvation tonight. We all need salvation, and I have been thinking this week, because this week I have gone for a job interview. And in job interviews, they ask you lots of questions. Why do you want the job? How do you think you're equipped? What gives you the skills? So I wondered if we could look at the 5 ways that you can ask a question: the where, the what, the why, the when, and the how. So we begin with why. Why is salvation necessary? And it says in Isaiah that because of our iniquities, our sins, they've separated us from God. And our sins have hid his face. It's a very solemn thing to think that every single man, woman, and child in this room is born in sin. And I would go as far as to say, as in their life, every single person in this room will have committed a sin. But a sin doesn't mean that you have to murder someone or steal someone's car. It can just be as much as looking at the car and saying, "I like that car, I want that car." Or telling a simple lie, even just a white lie, to sin. And we're all guilty of sinning. And from that, God cannot have sin in his presence. But it's an amazing thing, as we'll find out later, that we do have a way to God, if we'll only accept it. But as it stands, just because we are born in sin, the place that we rightfully should have is hell. That's where we all deserve. We're born in sin. We're worthless. We're described as filthy rags in God's sight. But thankfully for us, that's not where the story finishes. If you turn with me to the second chapter of Acts. So Acts chapter 2, and we can look at who can be saved. So the reality is, although every person in this room is born in sin, there's not a single person in this room, no matter what your life has entailed, what you've done, there's not a single person in this room that can't be saved. Every single person has the opportunity to be saved. And so we read in Acts 2 and verse 21, it says, we were reading, in the reading, we pointed out that it's very important not to just believe people's opinions or what they think, but to back it up with scripture. So that's what we have here. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a very simple thing, salvation. The price has been paid, the debt is gone, and all you need to do is accept that you are a sinner and that you need a saviour and that Jesus is the man that saves. And that is the first step to salvation, is repenting, realising that you're a sinner, realising that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing you can do at all. And it didn't come without price. Of course, like we said, the price was the greatest price that has ever been paid and ever will be paid. As we read in the first epistle of John. First epistle of John, and it says, 1 John 1 and chapter 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's lots of things. I've been thinking recently. There's lots of things that are nice to look at. For example, if you think of a Rubik's Cube that's been solved, it's satisfying to look at. It's pleasing. You look at, for some of the men in here, if you look at something like a nice Jaguar, Ferrari, pleasing to look at. But every car can have its faults. A Rubik's Cube can be easily broken or meddled with. But Jesus was the perfect Son of God. In him, sin was not. And he was the only perfect gift that has ever been given. And the perfect gift is available to every single man, woman, and child in the room. And the best thing about it is where you would have to pay for a car or a Rubik's Cube. This is free. The best gift that ever has been given, the most perfect gift, is free. And all you have to do is accept it. And it's available to all. It's available to all. It doesn't matter if you were just born in a Christian family or if you weren't. God doesn't look upon the outer as a man does. God looks upon the heart. And that's important, because you have to enter into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the way to heaven. There's nothing that you can do. Of course, it's nice to give to charity. It's nice to give people a smile. And unfortunately, that doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't get you to heaven. The only way is through Jesus. We have his word. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we read in Acts 16, back to the book, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16 and verse 31. We read there, it says, and what must I do to be saved? So as we were saying, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. It is as simple as it sounds. Some things, as we see, I see a lot with my work. You see a lot of scams, and you can click on a link to get a £15 e-bike. It's a scam. Click on those links that say, just pay five pence and we'll get your DPD order delivered. It's a scam. This is not a scam. This is the word of God. What must I do that I must be saved? And it just says, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. It's as simple as that. It's not anything complicated. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a great understanding of the Bible. You don't need to know every page word for word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for every single one of us. It doesn't want the death of a sinner, but unfortunately, there is no other way. And if anyone doesn't accept that the Lord is their own personal Lord and personal Saviour, then unfortunately, the destination is hell, as is righteously earned by every single person on this earth. And finally, most important, you might say, when. So we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, it says, behold now is the well accepted time. Behold now, the day of salvation. I don't have the power to tell you what's going to happen this week. I don't have the power to tell you that you're going to get home safely tonight. What I can tell you is that the Lord is coming, and he's coming soon. We're not given a timescale. It's not a case of when you're ready, think about it, and then see if it's what you really want. It's not a 3 to 5 working days thing. The Lord could come at any point, and I guess we all need to be ready. If you think, look at the clock, and you know every second that clock ticks, we get closer to eternity. Sobering thought. As time goes on, you don't know that that clock will reach 7 o'clock before the Lord comes. I don't know that. No one in this room does. But I guess my question to you is, are you saved? If the Lord came before the clock struck 6:30, where would you be going? Would you be going to hell? Or would you be going to heaven? Would you rather spend your eternal life with the Lord, or in heaven, or in hell with the devil and his angels? That was the place that it was specifically created for. God never planned for men to be in hell. It was never planned for that at all. But sin came into the world, and the price had to be paid. And that price was Jesus' precious blood. And I thank God that he sent Jesus to pay the price for my sins and for yours. And I would just convey Jesus to every single man, woman, and child in this room. It's not a difficult thing to grasp. We're all sinners. We need a saviour. And Jesus is the only man that can save us. The only one that can save. So salvation really is very easy. I read recently, salvation is as easy as ABC. A, acknowledging and repenting your sin. B, believing and accepting Jesus as your personal Saviour and Lord. And C, confessing to others that he is the Lord of your life. And that's all you have to do. You don't need to come with great donations to charity. Don't need to come with a great party of followers. You come as you are, just yourself. And you can have a personal link with the living Lord that I enjoy every day. That's all I really have to say. That's all I really have to say. But I would just urge that if there is anyone in this hall tonight, or anyone that you know of that isn't saved, reach out to them. Let them know about the Lord, and let them know what he has done for them. May God bless the word. Amen.